thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So we're going to read together, and reading together in Hebrews chapter 13. Going to read the first 8 verses, Hebrews chapter 13, and verses 1 through 8. Well, let brotherly love continue. That's a good start, isn't it? Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Interesting consideration. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, and those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over, better wording is lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Will the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious word? Well, my text I had about a week ago, I had no idea what I was going to say about it. But the Lord gave me about a week ago, and that is verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. But we do have to do a little background, and so I just want to start with verse 7 a little bit, just to get the context in place for you. Because in verse 7 we are told, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith, another version puts it. So the first exhortation here is to remember faithful leaders who have sown into your lives. We should never forget that, you know, that there were faithful leaders. I can remember from I was at Sunday school. And that's quite a while ago, but I can still remember it. In Sunday school, the faithful leaders who sowed into my life. Remember growing up as a teenager, the faithful leaders who sowed into my life. And so we should remember the leaders, those leaders who spoke the word of God to us and therefore been instrumental in building up the body of Christ collectively. These founding fathers, many have passed away, but the readers still remember their work, and they still remember what they had faithfully sown into their hearts and lives. We should be thankful for that. The next exhortation is to consider the outcome of their way of life. The verb consider actually means to look at again and again, or to observe very carefully, in other words. The exhortation is to observe carefully their lives from the beginning to the end. Observe how they started. Observe how they continued. Observe how they closed a well-lived life in Christ. Thank God for those examples. The third exhortation is to imitate their faith. We can learn so much, and we can even emulate the faith of godly men and women who have gone on before us. One particular older pastor now sowed into my life so much. I wouldn't know where to start to thank him for what he sowed into my life as a young Christian. In this fast-changing, complex, dangerous world, nothing actually out there seems dependable or constant or even permanent. Things change, and wow, shock headlines, wow, on a regular basis. But you know, the thing is that leaders also come and leaders go. But they pointed to one leader who is unchangeable. That is Jesus Christ. And therefore the author to the Hebrews states then, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The constancy of Jesus, the constancy, enables us to follow the faith of our great Christian leaders, because the lives of our former leaders declared memorably to us the changelessness of Christ whom they served and the changelessness of Christ whom we serve. What a master. In a world that changes, blown about by all sorts of things, praise God for the changelessness of Christ Jesus. First, note that the author here uses both names, Jesus and Christ. The name Jesus embraces the work and the word of God's Son on earth as he came to save his people from their sins. The name Christ is the official title that expresses the divinity of the Son. The double name occurs only three times in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 10, and chapter 13, verse 8, and verse 21. And for those who learned and remember the Apostles' Creed, anybody remember learning the Apostles' Creed? Anybody? Well, there's a few. Anybody never heard of it? The Apostles' Creed. I remember learning that as a very young person. And some of the words in that Apostles' Creed says this: I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Part of the Apostles' Creed. Not only is Christ's divinity expressed by the writer to the Hebrews, but also his changelessness is highlighted by the writer quoting from the psalmist, from Psalm 102, verse 27, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. He quotes that psalm, "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." And he is alluding to the same unchanging nature of Jesus Christ here in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Note the sequence of time also. Past, present, future. The same yesterday, today, forever. The timelessness of the man Christ Jesus relates, yesterday relates to the mediatorial work of Jesus on earth, proclaimed and confirmed to the readers by those who heard him. You read that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The expression today refers to the intercessory work that Jesus performs in heaven, where he represents every believer before the throne of God the Father. Hebrews 7:25 and Hebrews 9:24. And the word forever pertains to the priesthood of Christ. He is priest forever. Hallelujah. Hebrews 5, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 7. Wow, it's all there. What a wonderful Jesus. Put simply, Christ's work of yesterday, was to suffer for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. He purchased eternal salvation for all who will come to him, repent of their sins, and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith. His work today is amazing, is to serve as our great high priest. He is praying for you today as he represents you before the Father. Past eon, one of my horrors at first, but which became a real joy to me, was in the courtroom. But you see, people who stood in the courtroom represented, they had representatives, someone to represent them. Wow, what a representative we have. And when you're accused, hallelujah, what an advocate we have with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And his future work is to return and to conclude God's saving purposes for us. Hebrews 9:28, he is coming again soon and very soon. And the important issue for us is to be ready and to be always looking for his glorious appearing. As Paul said to Timothy, Jesus never needs to be replaced. His work never needs anything added to it or anything taken from it. It is the perfect work on our behalf. Hallelujah. We are secure in him. He is the first and the last. The writer to the Revelation, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We have received the complete and final revelation of God to man in the person of Jesus Christ, which can never be superseded, never be supplemented by something better, because everything in this great book of Hebrews is about better. He is better than all. He is better. And his work is better. What a Jesus. What a Savior. The main point of the verse is that because of his past and present work, Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet all the needs of the Christian life, both now and into God's eternity in the future. The nature of Jesus as it is revealed in the Bible is the same nature of Jesus that should be seen in the church today, because both the readers of the Hebrews and believers today have access to the power and to the example of an unchanging, unwavering Jesus Christ. Because of his past and present work, Jesus Christ can meet our every need. I want to inspire you this morning to faith in Jesus Christ. We started by faith, but I want to say continue by faith in the one who saved you. If he was able to save you, raise you from the dead, spiritually speaking, wow, what can he not do? He is able. He is the same today, offering salvation to all who will call upon his name. He again fixes a day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 4:7. The quality of our redemption secured by Jesus is forever, because he is forever unchanging. He came from glory. He returned to glory. But he is here. Hallelujah. Here is one of the most profound, relevant truths in God's word to our hearts today. Jesus Christ came from glory, took on flesh, and humbled himself to die as our substitute to pay our death penalty. And like Mark's illustration, he wasn't surprised when we were found in the pit. But praise God, he had a rescue plan planned in eternity past that we could be pulled out of that pit and set our feet on the rock Christ Jesus. The simple fact of history never changes. Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore. He's the same person who pre-existed before time began, but he became flesh, and he's the same one who walked the dusty roads of Galilee. He changed the water into wine in Canaan. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He is able to meet your need today. John Brown wrote in his commentary back in about 1862 on Hebrews, men's opinions are constantly changing, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His doctrines are invariable. He ever lives, and his affection and care of his people are unchangeable. And unchangeable, he ever lives. And he ever lives to protect and bless those who put their confidence in him. Where is your confidence today? Is your confidence in Christ and in Christ alone? Because everything else fades, fails, and is movable. Brown also stated, let Jesus Christ be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is, let him be the same to you. He is the same in himself anyway. His person is certainly divine. His doctrine is true. His promises are trustworthy. His laws are wise and good as ever they were. You embraced him as your Savior and teacher and your Lord. Why should you abandon him now? In other words, why should you misplace your faith today when you have a need within your life? Surely you would still turn to him who redeemed you and say, Lord, I venture everything in you because I trust you. Andrew Murray wrote in that great book to read, The Holiest of All, The Holiest of All. Yes, all that he has been, he will be forever, even from henceforth, from the present moment and forevermore. And all that he will be forever, he is at this moment for you. Think of him in the fullest revelation of his glory, in the inconceivable closeness of the union with him and his love, which shall be yours hereafter. And let faith say, all that he ever will be, he is today. All that he can in eternity be, he is to you today, the same today and forever. Amid all the changes in the church, in the circumstances around us, or in our heart within us, in this one word is a strength and a joy that nothing can take away. Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. His love is the same. His righteousness is the same. His wisdom is the same. And he is not bound by the limitations of finite men, so that we could ever be surprised by that he could be ever surprised by any of our circumstances. He's not caught by surprise. I know that many of the healings and the miracles and the works of Jesus are quoted in various gospels. And for a reason, because they all approach it from a different angle. And so it's worth reading. If you're reading about one miracle, say in Matthew, it's worth reading it in Mark and Luke and in John, because you get the full picture of what they're trying to getting at, what the Holy Spirit engineered as he breathed that word to holy men. My Jesus, he healed the nobleman's son in John 4. The man with the unclean spirit in Mark 1:21, Simon Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8. He healed a leper in Matthew 8. He healed a paralytic in Matthew 9. Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed the man at Bethesda Pool in John 5. The man with the withered hand in Matthew 12. The centurion's servant in Matthew 8. He raised the widow's deceased son in Luke 7. He delivered the demonic of Gadara in Matthew 8. He healed a woman with the issue of blood in Matthew 9. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He raised Jairus' daughter in Matthew 9. He healed two blind men in Matthew 9. He delivered and healed a mute, demon-possessed man in Matthew 9. He delivered the daughter of a Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. He healed a deaf man with an impediment in Mark 7. He healed a blind man at Bethesda, Mark 8. He is the same, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He delivered the demon-possessed epileptic boy in Matthew 17. He healed a man born blind in John 9. He delivered and healed a man blind, dumb, and demon-possessed in Matthew 12. He healed a woman who was bent double in Luke 13. Healed a man with dropsy in Luke 14. He raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11. He healed 10 lepers in Luke 17. He healed blind Bartimaeus in Matthew 20. He replaced the ear of Malchus in Luke 22. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just want to inspire your faith to believe. In Luke 5, 12 to 14, a man came with a skin disease to Jesus for healing, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him and he said, "I do want to be clean." And instantly the skin disease left the man. But in the same chapter of Luke, we find Jesus healing not only a physically handicapped person, but also providing spiritual blessing to the man who needed forgiveness of sins. "Your sins," he said, "are forgiven." When he becomes Savior and Lord of your life, he can touch you. He can touch your beliefs. He can touch your attitudes. He can touch your behaviors. He can touch your hidden prejudices. He can touch you and make you whole if you simply place your faith in him. When Jesus touches us, he can cause us to see other people in a different way too. He can heal relationships. He will get you to see the people as people of worth, people that he created and that he died for, people that we should love as he loves them. Jesus can touch our eyes as well as our souls so that we might see and that we might have compassion like Jesus had for those that are like sheep without a shepherd. What's compassion in your heart do you have for those that are as sheep without a shepherd? How does it affect you and your way of life? This is the Jesus. The Jesus who calmed the storms. The Jesus who fed the multitudes with a little boy's lunchbox. People, oh, friends, that he touched that were untouchables in society. He healed the brokenhearted. He wept over those who strayed aimlessly as sheep without a shepherd. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the Jesus who hung on the cross, bearing all your sins upon himself, that you need bear them no longer. but that you could live in the knowledge and freedom of sins forgiven, and know with assurance that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. There's nothing better than eternal security. I grew up in times of, thankfully, that some of you younger people know nothing of, times of difficulty and trouble. Times that were difficult in the extreme. I had security. I had body armor under my shirt. I had a device under my car to detect, well, on the floor panel, the inside of the car, to detect if a bomb was placed underneath. I had all sorts of security. But you know who was my greatest security of all? Jesus Christ. Once when I was ambushed, and had only one narrow means of escape, which took me out over bollards and roadworks, where a trench was in the road, half the road was blocked off, and, well, the other guys blocked the other half of the road off. And as I was driving up, doors opened and all these guys jumping out with bow rifles, machine guns, and so on. And I thought, So I headed for all the bollards in the little trench in the road and just gave it everything. You know how many bullets hit that car? Zero. How can that be possible? Just a limitless, unchanging God in whom I'm not saying that it's everyone's experience, because some have to suffer for Christ's sake. There's a reason too. But it wasn't my time, because God had a continuing purpose. At one time, driving out of the line of another ambush, only for one reason only, because for the first time in my life I heard the audible voice of God saying, don't go that route. And I had to take that on board myself, as well as the crew in the car, and as well as the crew in the ghost car behind as well, some distance behind, and say, we're not going that route. And that night, IRA had hijacked a van. They had planted it, the van, in a little alleyway, waiting for the only, I'm going to give this away now, the only official route that we were allowed to bring the cars in by. The other meant transgressing the law slightly. But God makes the laws, and God can change them when he wants to. And God said to me, go straight on, don't turn. And the man whose van was hijacked told me, he said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He says, these big tubes, he said, the mortars and massive machine guns, everything. He said, they said they're going to wipe out the two cars on their way. And he said, but you never turned up. What a lovely discussion with colleagues. You know the interesting thing? Here's a little tip for you, because, see, some of you think You want to check everything out everywhere. Not a single person in the car heard God's voice except me. I looked around because I thought, what? Did somebody speak? But the voice was different. I looked around again as it came the second time. Nothing. Everybody was just chatting. It's normal. You see, sometimes God will just speak to you. Just listen. And don't go having to, oh yeah, I know people can confirm things. I understand that, and it's good if people confirm things. But if you hear his voice, you listen. You listen. This is the Jesus who beckons you to come and to take this morning of the water of life freely. If you don't know him, oh, come to him this morning. I implore you, come to him. This is your moment. This is your hour to come. This is the same Jesus who calls you to reach out and to touch him today, and you will never be the same. This historical, factual Christ whom we have come now to know as believers and love and cherish and exult in is the Christ we will increasingly know and enjoy forever. If he is the same forever. And that is why the word forever is so important. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. May God bless you this morning. If we just ponder for one moment when Mark comes. Just ask you just to, everyone, just bow your heads in a moment of prayer. Very rare thing on a Sunday morning. But is there one this morning, you, as yet, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You've never repented of your sin. You've never received him by faith. You'd love to receive him by faith this morning and speak to us afterwards. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just raise your hand right now, right where you sit, as a signal, I would love to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior this morning, right here, right now, in this place, that I can live a life with this unchangeable Jesus. Would you raise that hand right now, right where you sit? Don't be afraid. Nobody else is looking. Last call just to say this morning, I want to come to Jesus. You lift your hand right now. Okay, are there those this morning with situations in your life? You heard this morning and you've been inspired by the word of God that this unchangeable Jesus can meet your need. You just lift your hand and then you can put it down again and I'll just include you in the prayer. Just lift it right now. There's one, there's two, there's three, four, five, six. Anyone else, I'll just include you in my prayer this morning. I won't mention your name. God knows your name. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word, the entrance of which gives light that we can act upon in a positive way. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. You see the hands that were raised and you know the diversity of needs within those six precious people who raised their hands. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, as they look to you in simple faith right now, that you will make what seems unchangeable changeable through your power. I pray, Lord, that you will inspire within them a real hope, Lord, and a real faith just to say, Jesus, I can't work this out, but you can. And I pray, Lord, that you will do it for these dear people and that they will be able to give testimony to the power and work of the living, changeless Christ in their circumstances. Bless your people. Bless your word to their hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.